Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I don't know if you see... Oh, I need the clicker, don't I? I was about to click without the clicker. That probably wouldn't have worked, would it? I wonder if you recognize any of these people. Maybe some of the children... any of the children, do you recognize any of these people? Herken je iemand hiervan? Do you know who this is? Do any of the adults know who any of these people are? Queen Elizabeth? King Willem Alexander, yes. Do you know who the other kings and queens are or not? Almost, Jordan? Yes. So this is Thailand here in the middle. Up on the left top is Lesotho, which is a small mountain kingdom in South Africa. And yes, her daughter, yes. And this is the king and queen of Norway, King Harald. So, what does a king or a queen do? Or do they lie in bed all year and only come out for Koningsdag? Very good. What do kings and queens do? They reign. Very good. Yes, they rule over a kingdom. I was trying to think if there is also such a word as queendom. I'm not sure there is, but there should be, of course. But they rule over a kingdom. So each kingdom on earth has a king or a queen. And the Bible talks about a different kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. And who is the king in God's kingdom? Jesus. Very good. And the difference between the kingdom of God and all the other kingdoms of the world is this, is that Jesus isn't simply the king of one country or of one nation, but he is called in the Bible the king of kings. So of all the kings, he is the king. He's also called the Lord of lords. He's more powerful, more magnificent, more glorious, more worthy of honor, more worthy of obedience than any other king. But Jesus is not only more powerful than all the other kings, he is also the most kind king, the most loving, the most gentle, the best king that there will ever be or ever has been. Okay, a more difficult question. If Jesus is the king, where is his kingdom?
His kingdom is to come.
His kingdom is to come. Very good. Any other suggestions?
Laura said
the church, okay, also a good suggestion. If we think about where Jesus rules and reigns, then it is not a physical kingdom, it's not a land or a piece of land anywhere, but it is a spiritual kingdom. It's not like Holland or Thailand or Norway, but the kingdom of God is wherever the will of God is done. So wherever God's will is done, that is where the kingdom of God is. So it can be found in any place and at any moment where things are done in God's perfect and loving way. And if we think about how we would describe a certain kingdom, if we think about what the kingdom of the Netherlands is like, for instance, we might say things like this. We might say it is flat, that it has very, very hot weather in the summer. You might say that the people enjoy eating stroopwafels, or being gezellig. But if we think about the kingdom of God, and if we think about what it is like, then the Bible says it is like this. The kingdom of God is full of love, full of life, joy, peace, goodness. And it's like that. It's good, and it's joyful, and it's peaceful, and it is perfect, because that is where God's will is being done. And when Jesus walked on the earth, he told people that the kingdom of God was near. You might remember that he used to go around preaching and saying, the kingdom of God is near. And he showed them what the kingdom of God was like. So if you remember the stories about Jesus, he went around showing them what the kingdom was like by healing people, by healing them from their diseases, by freeing them from evil spirits. But he also spent time with people who were looked down upon or who were disliked. He welcomed and he valued everyone, from the very youngest people to the very oldest. He forgave people their sins. He fed them when they were hungry or tired. He served them in so many different ways. He even washed the dirty feet of the disciples. So Jesus lived out, he lived out, he acted out what it meant to live in the kingdom of God. The ways of love, humility, mercy, kindness, and generosity. So, if that was what the kingdom of God looked like when Jesus was on earth here, when he was modeling it for us, how do we see the kingdom of God now? How can we see it at work now? Well, we can see it in the life of the church, which was a very good answer. We see it in the life of the people who follow Jesus, those who seek to love God, who seek to love each other, who seek to follow in the steps of Jesus and do the amazing things that he did while he was on earth. God's kingdom is right here when we love each other, when we care for each other, when we pay attention to the people that other people ignore, when we help others who need help, when we share our faith with other people. And one day, when Jesus returns, we will see the kingdom of God in all its fullness. So that was also a very good answer. Then it will be present all the time and everywhere. So if we're thinking about the Lord's Prayer, if we think about our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So if we pray this, if we pray this request, your kingdom come, your will be done, what does that mean? What does it mean if we pray this? Do any of the children know? Do any of the adults know? Sorry? That we will live Jesus' life? Okay, very good. If we pray it for ourselves, if we pray this prayer for ourselves, it means that we are asking Jesus to rule over our lives. When we pray this prayer, we are asking Jesus, who is the King, to rule over our lives. We're praying, may your kingdom come in my life. May your will be done in my life. So we're asking him to be King and Lord in everything. And that means we're also choosing to do things his way rather than our own way. If we are going to live our lives in the same way that Jesus did, then we need all the help that we can get. Jesus also said, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. So he said it's near, but he said it also, it's within you. And that means that God's kingdom comes whenever we surrender our hearts, when we surrender that which is in us, with which we make our decisions, which we decide what we do. When we surrender that to Jesus, then he says he will come in and rule. I just want to show you this short video clip. So, Alina, do you mind just turning off the lights? Let's have a look at this.
Jesus, I have decided to give you this.
You makes all the decisions, right?
I'm making this. You make the so that is so.
Wow, I'm honored. This you.
Guess what?
Here makes all the decisions, right?
I know, and I'm always making decisions, but you make the perfect decisions, so you just sit right down and start making them.
Wow, I'm honored. I mean, this feels great.
Kathleen, guess what? I just got my new credit card. It's time to go shopping.
Oh, really?
I thought your husband and you were going to pay off debt. Oh, yeah. I mean, money's kind of tight, but I figured he doesn't have to know about it, so do you want to go with me?
No.
No?
Why? What I mean is, I don't know. So let me check my schedule, and then I'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, you can call.
Okay.
Kat, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm kind of one-cheeking here. Look, I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You wanted me to sit here, right?
Well, of course.
And whoever sits here makes all the decisions?
Right.
So what's the problem?
There's not a problem. I don't know what I was thinking. Really, please, here, sit down.
As long as you're sure.
I'm sure.
Okay, so let's start over.
Okay.
All right. Kat, I noticed that you've been losing your temper a lot lately.
Right. So, okay, Jesus, you know what? I know what you're going to say, but
you
don't know the whole situation, you know?
Well, all I'm saying is that your attitude is a decision.
Yes, of course, but I have a lot going on right now.
Well, I know you're under a lot of pressure.
Pressure? Jesus, you don't understand pressure, okay?
It isn't working, Kat.
What?
We can't both sit on the seat. It's either me or it's you.
Okay, I know. You know, I didn't think it was going to be this hard, but here, just take it.
No, I'm not going to take it. You have to give it to me.
Okay, here.
Kathleen, make a choice.
I can't.
You just did.
So,
it's a bit like having a throne in your life, and the person who sits on the throne is the one who makes the decisions. And we can choose to sit on our own throne in our lives and make the decisions ourselves, or we can decide to allow Jesus to sit on the throne. Praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done for ourselves," means allowing Jesus to be in charge. And that can be hard because we want to make our own decisions. We want to be our own boss. The question is, are you willing to submit to Jesus as king and allow him to be in charge? And he doesn't just want a part of us. He doesn't just want to make the decisions over the churchy things that we do, but he wants to reign in every part of our lives. He wants to reign over our thinking, our speaking, our actions. He wants to reign over the way we treat our family members. He wants to reign over the friends that we choose to hang out with. He wants to reign over the way we do our work or school, what we watch on TV, what we do with our money and our possessions and so on. And the reason for that, the reason that he wants to reign, isn't because he enjoys bossing others around, but it is so that he can make us more like himself. The reason that Jesus wants to reign is so that he can make us more like himself. Jesus' purpose for our lives is not to make us rich and famous, but to give us the greatest treasure of all, and that is a deep and close relationship with himself that continues for all eternity. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven," we are saying what we just heard in the song, if you were listening, the one that was playing earlier. We're saying to Jesus, "Reign in me. Be in charge of my life." And if we're honest, we have often ignored what Jesus is calling us to do, and instead we've been selfish or stupid, or we've just gone our own way. We haven't trusted him, even though we know that he knows what is best for us. So what we're going to do now is we're going to all together say a prayer to ask for God's forgiveness and to commit ourselves again to allowing Jesus to reign in our lives, to sit on the throne. The words are on the screen, so let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, we confess that we have often gone our own way, doing what we have wanted to do rather than obeying you. Please forgive us. We surrender to you and ask you to come and reign over our lives. Reign over our thoughts, our words, and all that we do. Reign over all of our relationships and our resources, that we might live in the power of the Holy Spirit, for your glory and not ours. Amen. Almighty God, who in Jesus Christ has given us a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, forgive us our sins, open our eyes to God's truth, strengthen us to do God's will, and give us the joy of his kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, there's one thing that we can do is we can pray, your kingdom come, your will be done for ourselves, but we can also pray it for other people. Maybe you just want to take a listen to this story from the Bible, and Linda's going to come and read it for us.
Right. Is it going to be up there? Okay. I'm going to read from Acts 12, 4 through 11. After Herod arrested Peter, he put him in jail and handed him over to be guarded by 16 soldiers. Herod planned to bring Peter before the people for trial after the Passover feast. So Peter was kept in jail, but the church kept on praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping. He was between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Other soldiers were guarding the door of the jail. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood there. A light shined in the room. The angel touched Peter on the side and woke him up. The angel said, "Hurry, get up!" And the chains fell off Peter's hands. The angel said to him, "Get dressed and put on your sandals." And so Peter did this. Then the angel said, "Put on your coat and follow me." So the angel went out and Peter followed him. Peter did not know if what the angel was doing was real. He thought he might be seeing a vision. They went past the first and the second guard. They came to the iron gate that separated them from the city. The gate opened itself for them. They went through the gate and walked down a street. And the angel suddenly left him. Then Peter realized what had happened. He thought, "Now I know that the Lord really sent his angel to me. He rescued me from Herod and from all the things the Jewish people thought would happen." This is the word of the Lord.
So, that's a story of, I don't know if you noticed it at the beginning of the story, but it said this. The church kept on praying to God for him. So Peter's in jail, and the church is praying for him, and then God releases him through this angel. The church is praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And what we see then is that God's kingdom does come because Peter's released and is able to continue the work that God had called him to do. So when we pray for other people, when we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," then we see that God's kingdom does come. It might mean that someone is healed from their illness. It might mean that someone comes to know Jesus for themselves. It might mean that someone finds a new job. It might mean that someone is given help for a difficult relationship. It might mean that someone's given wisdom to make a decision. It might mean that they're given strength to go through a tough situation. So this is a very powerful prayer, a very important prayer to pray, because it opens the door to God being involved in that person's life. We are asking God to come and release his powerful blessings onto that person. So just as we end today, why don't you take a moment of one person to think of one person who you would like to pray that prayer for. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Maybe there's someone who is in need. Maybe there's someone who really needs God's kingdom and God's presence in their life. So I'm going to give you just a moment to think of someone, and then we're going to pray these words together. Father, you know and you love all of the people that we have in our minds at this moment. And so for all of these people, we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Let's say that together. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So when we think about what we've been talking about this morning, we remember that the kingdom of God is not a place, but it is wherever God's will is done. And when we pray this prayer, we are praying for Jesus to rule in our lives so that he can make us to be more like him. But we can also pray it for other people so that they experience too the presence of the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So let's stand and we're going to sing together our next song about the kingdom of God, which is King of Kings, Majesty. Let's stand and sing together.